Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by Nation's Restaurant News. I'm your host, Holly Petrie, and this week we have the CEO of Fat Brands, Andy Lederhorn, on the pod to talk about how the brand is recovering during the pandemic and the luck of being in the fast casual space during this time. Before I throw it over to our editor, Joanna, I wanted to talk about a new feature on our website, Stories from the Front Lines. Since the pandemic began, we've been reaching out to operators and executives across the country to hear their stories of survival during this crazy time. But with the recent events unfolding around the death of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, we are expanding the series to include stories of surviving any of the multiple crises facing our nation. Now, we're opening it up for submissions. If you'd like to be a part of the series and speak with us about your story, email me at holly.petrie@informa.com. That's H-O-L-L-Y dot P-E-T-R-E at I-N-F-O-R-M-A dot com. And now, here's Joanna.
Hello, my name is Joanna Fantozzi, Associate Editor with Nation's Restaurant News, and we're speaking with Andy Lederhorn, CEO of Los Angeles-based Fat Brands, the global franchising company, with brands including Fatburger, Hurricane Grill and Wings, and Ponderosa and Bonanza Steakhouses. On this episode of Extra Serving, Andy will be speaking about how his brands are recovering in this period of the pandemic and how they're meeting challenges related to both coronavirus and the widespread protests. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so could you first get me caught up on how Fat Brands companies have fared over the past few months?
Well, you know, Fat Brands, like every other restaurant company, has taken some lumps here from the global pandemic, but we've really been very resilient in most of our brands, and we're just very fortunate. I think for the most part that we're not in the fine dining sector. We're really very fortunate that we're in fast casual and casual dining, and we've seen very strong sales even through the shutdown with delivery and to-go business, and they've bounced back significantly as we've had reopenings in certain areas.
Okay, great. So speaking of reopenings, what has been your reopening strategy, and how many restaurants have reopened so far?
Yeah, out of about 380 restaurants, we are definitely in the 300s that are back open. It's a progressive process. Now there are certain locations, like it could be a casino or something like that, where the casino hasn't reopened yet, so the restaurant inside the casino hasn't opened. We have a few states that have still restrictions in place about dining rooms opening, but we have, you know, outdoor seating or we have to-go and delivery. So we're moving at it quickly. I think we have all but a couple dozen of our Fatburgers open. There's 170 Fatburgers. And our Ponderosa and Bonanza Steakhouses probably have also a challenge in terms of dining room seating in certain states. They're very big dining rooms, so there's plenty of room to space people out. We've done some outdoor seating, and we've converted the model to a cafeteria-style attendant serving the guest at the buffet, picking what they want, and in some cases table service, but we've gotten away from self-serve, and that seems to have gone over very well and very well received.
Absolutely. So can you dive a little bit deeper into that, into how your operations have evolved over the past few months? How would you say your restaurants have changed and are going to be continuing to evolve as we recover from the pandemic?
You bet. So on the Fatburger side, normally we do about 40% in to-go and delivery. And that spiked to almost 70% during shutdown. So, a huge jump of 30% incrementally of those restaurants that were open being able to do takeout and delivery. Now, as the restaurants reopened their dining rooms and outdoor seating, we put in place extra sanitation procedures to make it very visible to the guests that we're doing that. We've got PPE for all the employees, so that they are not only protecting themselves, but also their guests. And then, of course, we're following the appropriate procedures with guests wearing masks if they're waiting in line to pick up to-go orders, et cetera, versus sitting down and eating at a table. Also, we have delivered all the meals in to-go packaging. So rather than giving someone, if they want to eat in the restaurant or outside, their food on a tray, it's in a it's in a to-go bag with all the necessary to-go packaging items. And that way, they can decide if they want to sit outside at the last minute, if they like the table, if they don't, if they want to get in the car or do whatever. So that's been very easy on the Fat Burger and the Elevation Burger side. On the Hurricane Grill and Wings and Buffalo's Cafe side, those are full casual dining restaurants with separate bars. Many of them had outdoor seating already, porches, screen porches, beaches, things like that. So we've shifted many of the guests to more outdoor dining, and those restaurants are now comping over 100% of last year's sales in the same week. So a huge bounce back there. They were pretty darn strong during the delivery segment when the dining rooms were closed also, really doing as much as half the business in to-go and even alcohol to-go. So very popular in South Texas, Georgia, Florida, and we're looking forward to New York, New Jersey being fully open here over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so interesting that you say that that your casual dining brands have seen a boost and have been doing better than maybe some other restaurants in the segment. So to what do you attribute that success when it seems like some other many other restaurants in that segment have struggled?
I think we're fortunate that the design of our casual dining restaurants incorporated outdoor features, and some of the menu items are kind of grab and go items like chicken wings and things that you can get your own plate of and eat. And it's pretty easy to isolate yourself. You don't need a lot of attendant service. Also, I think the alcohol component is real. I think people want a break. They want to get out. They can sit outside in a screen porch or just an outdoor environment, and they can eat finger food themselves, and they're not being passed around by other people. I think that's helpful, and I think the alcohol component is just very relevant. We're at least 25% alcohol right now.
Okay. And so this is something that's a little bit more, I guess, relevant the past couple of weeks. So what has been the most challenging part of, as you're still reopening restaurants, as states continue to reopen, as coronavirus cases are starting to pick up again in states that have been open for the past month or so? And as well, I'm sure there are challenges related to reopening restaurants during the period of socio-political unrest.
Yeah, you definitely have a small element of the labor force not wanting to come back to work yet, either because they don't want to be in an open environment, or they're riding the unemployment compensation issue that's controversial, or the extra money per week. So there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of pushback from some customers about whether all the employees are following the right procedure and whether other guests are following the right procedure, and have we demonstrated appropriate social distancing or sanitation procedures. So we've gone the extra mile in making sure that all of that's very clear and stated to our guests, both on our websites and also in the restaurants. But you kind of make the laundry list of all these issues you hear about on the news, and every one of them has come up somewhere or something. As far as social unrest, we had a very few number of restaurants with some slight damage, a couple of broken windows, a cash register stolen, things like that, but nothing that kept the restaurant closed for more than a couple of days.
Okay. And so some of these challenges that you're seeing as you're continuing to reopen, how are you talking about these issues with franchisees, especially when it comes to these labor concerns?
Yeah, so we've been coaching our franchisees from the beginning to extend their terms with their suppliers. We went and negotiated with Sysco, US Foods, PFG, Gordon Foods, all those guys who were extremely flexible with our franchisees to give them extended credit terms and the ability to pay back what they might have been on a 30-day basis over a longer period of time to smooth their cash flow. We coached them on PPP loans, on the economic injury disaster loans, how to get those from the SBA, and also to negotiate with their landlords for 3 months of rent deferral so that they could get through this period of time. I think that, and most of our franchisees, many of them, got PPP loans, and I think it was a big help. But I do think that the government needs to do one more round of stimulus that affects the restaurant industry specifically, and whether that's a refund of the 2019 payroll taxes that were paid, because it's an easy one to process. They know what the number is. They have the bank account. It's pro rata based on how many employees you have and how much your payroll was. That would be easy. Or to simply extend the PPP loan amount to maybe, you know, another round equal to what they did the first time. Something like that would make a huge, huge shot in the arm to the restaurant industry, I think, to cover not only rent, payroll, but also inventory and all the miscellaneous expenses that a restaurant operator has where he had no revenue for 3 months.
Absolutely. There are certainly a lot of challenges ahead still for the restaurant industry.
If you think about it, when you do 3 month rent deferral, right, that doesn't go away. It's not like it's forgiven like the PPP loan. And so now you're opening these restaurants back up. You're probably going to have sales somewhere between 75 and 100% of normal. We're fortunate. Our casual dining brands are there at 100%, and we think the burger brands could get pretty darn close. But other people may not have that bounce back at quite that level. And if you've got 3 months of rent as a weight around your leg that you're dragging around trying to get caught up on, it's going to be really hard for those operators to come up with that. And that's why I think the PPP loan, one more round, or the refund of 2019 payroll taxes would really help the restaurant operators get up and going.
Speaking of the concern with rent, how have your conversations with landlords been?
So in almost all cases, we found landlords to be listening, to be flexible, to the extent of saying we either want half rent or we'll defer your rent, we'll pay the can charges, but you know, we'll defer the rent. But in all cases, it's been a deferral, not a grant or a relief of some kind. So, you know, that's why I say that there's going to need to be some element here of assistance to the franchisees to get out from this rent burden that they have.
Okay. Since it seems like we're taking things day by day, it might be hard to think about this. But in terms of recovery and looking toward the future, where do you see FAPRANS in the next few months, 6 months to a year as we move forward from these past few months of chaos?
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, we're in acquisition mode now. We're looking at new opportunities presently. There are many of those were opportunities we were in discussions pre-COVID-19. Our platform is really well situated to grow. We completed a whole business securitization in March, really just before the pandemic went crazy, and that vehicle is expandable and it gives us access to low-cost capital to make additional acquisitions and drop them into the same securitization vehicle. And so, you know, we're very excited about the opportunities that we see out there. There's a little bit of, you know, price correction, which you know, it is good for us, but also relates to what could be slightly more, you know, bumpy road ahead. We believe we've made so many acquisitions already, I think 8 since the FAPRANS acquisition originally, that we, you know, we pretty much know what to do and kind of follow the same procedures.
Yes, and what I'm hearing from a lot of operators that are looking to expand at this time is that it is a good time to expand and acquire because of the fact that there is, unfortunately, less competition because a lot of restaurants were forced to shut down, and that real estate might be easier to negotiate in this time. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, I think, we've seen a lot of deals come at us. A lot of them are not the right kind of deal for us because we're really, you know, a global franchising company, so we don't want to buy platforms where they're all company-owned stores or something like that. But there's a lot of stuff that's for sale. There's a bunch of concepts that weren't making it before the pandemic, so they're certainly not going to make it during or after the pandemic, and I think you have to sort through that and figure out if you're going to make an acquisition, how's that going to work. I think there's an opportunity for franchisees that are multi-unit operators to acquire additional units from other multi-unit operators or mom-and-pop operators where there's just a chance to give them liquidity and scale your own business, and I think that's a good opportunity. And I think there's an opportunity to sell new franchises to small business owners, either people that they could have lost their job, they don't want to go back to their job, they want to own their own business and control their destiny more. And I think, you know, that's going to be an opportunity for 2020 and 2021 to be able to see as well.
And I'm interested in hearing about these upcoming acquisitions. So when will we hear any news about these?
Hopefully this will be Q3 type of stuff to talk about. And you know, we're very focused on it. And so I think there'll be to talk about shortly.
Great. Well, we look forward to hearing about it. I think that's all the questions we have. Thank you so much again for speaking with me today.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Have a great afternoon, Andy.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Extra Serving. Next week, we will have Tom Pickett, the Chief Revenue Officer of DoorDash, on the pod. Until then, have a safe and healthy week.